सहनावतु सहनो भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। वक्रतुण्डमहाकाय सूर्यकोटिसमप्रभा निर्विघ्नं कुरु मे देव सर्वकार्येषु सर्वदा। सरस्वती नमस्तुभ्यं वरदे कामरूपिणी। विद्यारम्भं करिष्यामि सिद्धिर्भवतु मे सदा। गुरुर्ब्रह्मा गुरुर्विष्णुः गुरुर्देवो महेश्वरः गुरुरेव परं ब्रह्म तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादं शङ्करं लोकशङ्करं। समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। भज गोविन्दं भज गोविन्दं गोविन्दं भज मूढमते। संप्राप्ते सन्निहिते काले नहि नहि रक्षति डुक्रन् करणे। भज गोविन्दं भज गोविन्दं गोविन्दं भज मूढमते। आदि शंकराचार्य जी thus far has told us that we should not cultivate the desire for wealth. Why? Because wealth will only be useful to certain extent, but it cannot be useful when it comes to giving us moksha, giving us self-realization. So with wealth we cannot purchase that. Our relation with a spouse or an opposite sex, that also is not going to help us, because they also will not be able to take us to the path of moksha. It only will cloud our thinking and make us more and more established in material desires. So that desire also must be given up. Then he says that one must understand the temporariness of the life. We take it for granted that life is long, and with this long life we will have lots and lots of things we can do in this life. But truly speaking, life is very fragile, very temporary, and we don't know what will happen at next moment. So taking that seriousness about life, with that dedication, one needs to pursue this path of spirituality. Otherwise, we will continue to keep dilly-dallying and pushing it back. We will never be able to reach there. And then, last class we were seeing the idea of, okay, fine, if life is short, at least the family members in my life, those who have made strong relations with, they will help me when I come to that old age. And he says, the sad truth is that they also will not come to help. So, yavad vitto parjana sakta, tavan nij parivaro rakta. till we are able to have the ability to earn, the entire parivar will be attached to us. Once we lose that ability to earn, they will all go away from us. You know, simply speaking, if there is a dog and you have some biscuit or something in your hand as a value to them, then they will come. If you have nothing, they will not even come. If you fake it and you say, they will come, but then they will run away because you will not give anything to them. So the sad truth of life is everybody is selfish. Everybody has self-motive. And as long as that self-motive is served, they will all be happy. And if they're not served, then none of them will come to aid us. So relying that, you know, in my old age, children will take care of me, that also is a false idea, a false hope. Two incidents that I am thinking of. One is like in my family. I know my uncle and aunt. They have been living in India, and both their children are in America. The younger son recently came, and the older son has been here for a while. So the older son actually called the uncle and aunt, you know, you come stay, now you are getting to an age where you can't do things on your own. They came, they didn't like it, they went back. The younger son wanted a life for, I guess, his children. So he came. Now they were there, you know, by themselves in India. And like this, you find so many families who are just, the older couple are now separately living by themselves. Who's taking care of them? Not the family members that they were relying on, the actual neighbors who are taking care of them. And that is not out of their doing. It is just a mere grace that, you know, the neighbors are helpful, that they are coming and helping. Well, uncle recently passed away. Aunt is old, in her, you know, mid-80s. So she is barely doing things on her own. Somebody has to come help her, support her. Children can't go there. None of them have the ability to go there and stay permanently with them. So all this time the father raised these children, mother gave the nurturing. Where are they now? All relationships are just like a speck of dust. They're meaningful only when the purposes are served, and they become meaningless once the purposes are gone. And the second example, which is contrary, I feel, is our uncle ji and auntie ji. Their mother is also around 80s, 90s, I think. When she was, I think, 80s, she went to the course with them. So not leaving the parents just like that, they brought her with them. And auntie ji is the only child. So now auntie ji is there, you know, looking after the mother. And I'm sure that if their heart was not with mission this much, their heart would have been with the mother. And they would have been with the mother there. So you see the contrary when the vichar is different. The serving attitude also is there. When the vichar is not there, the whole society looks for, how do I gain out of this? It's like, you know, that sugar cane. When you run it through that machine, once it has become a pulp, you don't need it. So like that is what our value becomes. That if we had earned the wealth, our value was then. The wealth that we have earned at old age, that wealth is also not useful. Say, you know, we are in nursing home or whatever, if possible, you know, with children, that is good. But if not, we are put in nursing home, we have all this money. But by throwing money at them, we are not going to get a respect from them. We may get values from those people. Now, if uncle and aunt, my uncle and auntie, they have wealth, you know, children provide them with wealth, but they don't have the ability to use that wealth. They have to rely on somebody. They have to tell, okay, can you get me this? I want bread today. I want butter today. I want potato. You have to be reliant on somebody. So even wealth cannot give you that. All this time we thought that, you know, if I am earning wealth, I will be okay. So this is the truth that Adi Shankaracharya ji presents to us. Right? All the relationships that we have in this world, they are very temporary. And in our spiritual growth, none of those relations will come to aid us. The only thing that will come is Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam. Now at that old age, by remembering Bhagawan, by remembering and doing the sadhana, even if nobody is there, our mind is not in the guilt or in a regret that I did so much for them, now they are not here for me. Mind is focused on Bhagawan. All that worry is just put aside. I remember when Auntie Ji used to tell that after the course, their mother, she used to go through all the lectures again, listen to everything. This is how she would pass her time. A better way to do the sadhana. But if you have not done it previously in your previous portion of life, that thought will not even occur. The only thought occurs is, I did these things in my life. I have a regret that I didn't do this thing. I wish I should have done these things. Maybe the outcome would have been different. We are all haunted by these thoughts. Whereas if we had done Bhajagovindam, all those thoughts will not haunt us. So therefore, the sad truth we must see, that relationships are also temporary and they cannot help us. Well, the smart geniuses, then they started saying, well, okay, fine. The relationship that you are talking about of, you know, brother, sister, father, mother, they are very distant relation. What about the relationship with a spouse? My spouse, she won't leave me. Or my husband will not leave me. They will be there with me. Because we have taken the fera in sickness or in good health, in richness or in poverty, you are to stay with me. You are bound. So what about that? So this is, here's the sad truth about that. So let us look at the sloka number 6 and see what the meaning is there.
Yavat pavano nivasati dehe, tavat pruchhati kushalam gehe, gatavati vayo deha paye, भार्या बिभ्यति तस्मिन् काये, भज गोविंदम भज गोविंदम गोविंदम भज मूढ़मते.
यावत् पवनः निवसति देहे, देहे इन द बॉडी, यावत् एज लॉन्ग एज पवना, पवना vital air, the life force that which makes the body move, function, all of that. Nivasati, till it is residing in the body. Tavat pruchhati kushalam gehe, till then everybody will ask about your welfare. especially bharya, wife, or husband. Meaning, till you are alive, they will ask for your welfare. So if a husband is coming home, wife will bring water, bring chai, bring dinner. Or if the wife is coming home, husband will say, no need to cook dinner or cook chai. Let us go out for a dinner. But they will ask for welfare. They will make sure that we are doing good till life source is there. Gatavati vayo. When that vayu has left, deha apaye, and the body is becoming decay. The body has started to turn into decomposition. Yes, that is apaya. So when it starts to decompose, then bharya bibhyati tasmin kaye. The wife, the dear spouse that we thought, they will also fear the body. They will not even want to be near the body. This is the truth. Now, I want you guys to really imagine yourself, put yourself in this shoes. Imagine that somebody passes away and that corpse is there. Everybody gathers around to mourn, right? Everybody is sad. And, you know, they are all coming, chanting Bhagavad Gita, chanting Vishnu Sahasranam, different stotrams you are chanting. Your mind is peaceful. But, I mean, how long can you keep people there? After a while, they are all going to go. Sometimes, I'm hearing, I don't know exactly because I've never been to cemetery, but I hear that people, when they come to cemetery, they want to rush away from there because they have other, possible. But they have other things that they want to get on with. They're like, okay, I'm done. How do I have to wait till the ashes are burned? I mean, the whole body is burned. Let's go, move on. So like that, you know, how long will the people stay there? Not for long. So little while they will stay there. And then what happens? One by one, everybody leaves. Only family members are there. Night falls. You all depart to your room. Would you have the guts to come down? Alone, knowing that the body is there in the room? Nobody would. Think about it. The same body, few hours ago, was the dearest person for us. At the middle of the night, that same body, without the life force, is giving us the creeps. Is making us feel that there is a chill factor there. This is the scariest portion of human body. If, and I'm sure we have encountered many such situations, if you find an animal body lying around, we don't get the creeps. We don't feel like, oh, what will happen? We just look and we just keep on going. But, okay, fine, some dead animal. When a dead body is there, and we know that there's a dead body, people will start going a different direction. They will change the whole path. What if the dead body wakes up? So, as soon as the life force goes, people are scared of the body. You know, they show in the movie, you go to morgue, feel so chilly because they have to keep the body cool. So you get that creeps. That is what the feeling you get when you see a dead body. So all that affection, all that thing just goes away, vanishes right there. The body that we thought we were so close to has no more affection, No more desires. All gone. People fear that. This is just a body that is dead. Say the body is not dead. Somebody, you know, who was pretending, wakes up. We would be totally freaked out. We will not say, oh, you got up. Thank God. We would be totally freaked out, thinking that, how did you just get up? How did this body move? We'll think it is a ghost. No, no, get away from me. I'm your husband. No. You're no longer my husband. Then another thought. Just imagine. People say, when I used to be very young, I used to hear all these incidences people used to talk about in the environment I was living in. So they used to say, they used to see a ghost of their parents walking around in the hallway or filling up water or all of these things. And they would say, they would be really scared. They wouldn't even want to go out again. Why, if it is a ghost of your own relative, why would you be scared of them? He's your own relative. They were scared of you when they were alive. Why would they scare you as a ghost? But still people actually want to get rid of them. Say, no, no, I don't want to be associated with a ghost. They will keep haunting me. Then I'll get nightmares. Then I'll get all these. As soon as this thought comes that the pranavayu that resides in the body goes away, the connection that was built, all has to be dropped. None of those connections will come to help us. A very sad, but yet a truth. There was one man, and this man was really affectionate towards his wife. So, you know, because of that affection, he used to always see the positive in his wife. Whereas everybody else were able to see the cunning nature of the wife. And the friends also knew. So once all the friends were gathered, and this man said, they were all making fun of their wives in some different way, making jokes and things like that. So this man says, oh, no, 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 no. My wife is not like that. My wife is totally different from your wives. She does not do anything that you just said. So one of the friend challenges. He says, you sure? How much do you want to bet? He says, I'm damn sure. I know that she is not like that. I will be betting anything you want. Okay, all I want you to do is do one acting role. Okay, all you have to do is act a little bit, and then I will show you something. So he says, okay, fine, what do I have to do? Here, take this pill, and when you are in front of your wife, just pretend that you are taking the pill, take it, and then you bring some water. After a little while, a foam will start coming out of your mouth. And you'll just fall on the ground. Okay? And pretend to be dead. Like nothing, you're not able to hear anything, you're not able to move. Just pretend to be completely dead. He says, okay, fine, I'll do that. So he goes home and says to the wife, honey, I'm home. Can I get some glass of water? Brings glass of water. He drinks, and in a little while, he just falls on the ground, and the foam starts coming out of the mouth. Obviously, the friend was outside, so he rushes in, and the wife was just about to go and eat dinner. So, you know, the friend walks in and says, what happened? He says, I don't know, I just gave him some water, and he just dropped dead. He's not even moving. I was in the middle of starting my dinner, and now I can't even finish my dinner now. Now, if I tell everybody, they will all gather, and I will not get a chance to eat my dinner tonight. So the friend says, nobody knows right now, right? What I will tell you is, for a few minutes, you just go inside, finish your dinner, then come out, and then we will talk. So she goes, she has her dinner, enjoys, comes out. And then he says, the friend provokes her. So now your husband is dead. What are you going to do? So wife is like, what do you mean, what am I going to do? Well, all the money, do you know where he has kept it? So she's like, yeah, I know, obviously. I used to always ask him where he used to keep his money. Because if something like this were to happen, I know where to get the money from. Says, yeah, good, you're going to need it, right? Because to do cremation and all that. Oh, forget about cremation. I have been planning so many things. He was not giving me money. Now I can use that money for whatever I need. Husband, meanwhile, listening to all of these things. Says, the friend says, you know, he used to wear a lot of ornaments on his hand. Yeah, thank you for reminding. Let me just remove those ornaments. So she removes them one by one. And the friend says, you know, when he used to smile, he used to have this shine on his smile. Yeah, I know, he had a golden teeth. He had golden teeth. But that's too much, right? If I were to take a plier and remove it. So friend says, what too much? He's dead. He's not going to feel any pain. Just remove it. Go bring the pliers. So she goes inside, brings the plier. All this while the man on the ground is thinking, is he my friend or is he trying to... is he on the plan to get me fully empty here? So then the wife is bringing the plier and opening the mouth. And then he nudges him. The friend nudges him and says, wake up or she will really pull it. So then he wakes up and he sees that, yeah, this is the real nature of his wife. And he gets this dispassion that I should not really have that much overemphasis on such relations. They're all temporary. Relations, even the closest that we think we have is temporary. There are none closer that can come than our spouse. But yet even that is temporary. So using this example, Adi Shankaracharya is telling us that there are no relationships that can come when it comes to spiritual growth. They will only keep us bound. They will not give us liberation. The only thing that can, that will, is Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam. Worship of Lord, sadhana of Bhagwan. That continuous, persistent effort that we place, that alone can help us with our future path. There is one nice Subhashitam. And the Subhashitam goes something like this. Dhanani bhumau pashavascha goshthe nari gruhadware sakha smashane dehaschitayam paraloka marge dharma, what is it? Dharmanugo gachati jiva ekaha. So here is how the verse goes. Dhanani bhumau. Bhumau means in the ground. dhanani. In olden days, that's what they used to do. They used to bury all their gold, all their wealth in the ground. That was their bank, their reserve. So when a person dies, the wealth will stay in the ground only. It will not come with them when they go. So dhanani bhumav pashavascha goshthe. The pashu, the animals, which a person relies on for their welfare, for their livelihood, grazing them, getting animal products out of them, all of that will stay in the goshthi, the pen or the barn where you have kept them. They will also not follow you because you have fed them, because you have nurtured them, nourished them. They will not follow you when you go to a smashana, a cemetery or a cremation ground. Okay. So pashavascha goshte. Nari gruhadware. Lady of the house or the wife or the spouse. She only comes to the doorstep. In those days, ladies don't go to cemetery. They don't go to cremation ground. They only come to the door. They don't even come outside. Only to the doorstep. That's it. And sakha smashane. The friends, the relatives, they accompany you to the smashana. Dehas chitayam. And body will accompany you till the pyre. You are put on this big wood log. So body will accompany you until then. But then it says, Parloka marge, dharmanugaha, those who are following dharma. Then for them to go to paramalok, or to go to Paramdham. Dharma is only thing that is going to take them. Jivaha ekaha gachyati. The jiva alone will go if they have done dharma in their life to the paraloka. Para means higher. So in order for us to get to the higher loka, we have to do that which is according to dharma. So what is dharma? Is not just earning wealth and living a sensuous life. Dharma is having an incorporation of God in our life, where we are earning wealth also with God-centric attitude, where we are enjoying wealth also because of God-centric attitude. That is dharma. Otherwise, to earn and to spend the earning is a very common thing for humans. They don't need to be taught how to do that, because it is survival of the fittest. So in order to survive, I know I have to go and earn. If nobody teaches me how to earn, I will learn on my way to earn. But then to keep a God-centric vision while earning, and then also God-centric vision while spending, that requires effort. And that vision does not come unless we have a guru or we have a scriptures that guides us, that tells us that we should be practicing this way. So a jiva alone will go to paraloka if they have practiced dharma. If they have done bhaja govindam, then alone they will go. If they have not, nothing will come to their help. Not even the possessions, not even the relations, not even the earning of the wealth that they have. We all must leave everything here and go. So with these two shlokas, Adi Shankaracharya ji is trying to bring to us this very core truth which has been put on us as a glare, and for some reason we have not seen it or not wanting to see it, because that separation itself gives us fear. What will I do if I'm separated? How will I survive? So facing the truth, we must then put effort towards Bhaja Govinda. Now, having understood this much, the point then, or at least I hope this point did not come out, is that, so I must give up relations with the family member, give up relations with the spouse, and just take up sannyas. No. Were you there? You were there, I know. So a joke was that Vijiji had asked a question, and Swami Sarveshananji was there. So Swami Sarveshananji, he took the cloth and he said, "This is what you have to do. So in your next life, you take up sannyas." But I can't do this. So, this is what Adi Shankaracharya is saying. You know, give up all of this, take up sannyas. Because he himself was sannyasi. You know, people will come up with this argument. But that is not the point. The point is that the attraction or the reliance or attachment on the family member, on a spouse, which focuses our attention from our sadhana, which diverts our efforts, and now we are putting less effort because we are overemphasizing on this factor. Oh, I have to make sure that I take my children for the practice. Now, in order for me to make sure that that happens, I have to make sure my work sets in properly. In order for that to happen, I have to make sure that I wake up by this time. In order for that to happen, I have to make sure that I sleep by this time. Oh, but where does the time go for the sadhana? Oh, well, I'll fit in some time, some other time. And like that, some other time doesn't come. And then later on, this regret comes, is that, you know, I spent this much time taking my children to this sport, that sport, make sure that they got the knowledge, make sure that they had Chinmaya mission type knowledge, that they had Vedantic knowledge. And then that same child, having gone through it, is not even here for me. We will have regrets because all this time our focus, our emphasis was on doership. I am the doer, I am the one doing, Sadhana should take us away from this doership, that I am not a doer, I am only an instrument through which an action is happening. But if we have not done this continuously or have not even thought about it, in our daily action we will not think about it. We will just continue to do the daily action, and we will not even know that the life has passed by. So what Adi Shankaracharya ji is saying is, make sadhana part of our life. Make this sadhana as a portion, if we can have a soul effort just towards that sadhana through a day, some portion in a day, we should do that. That doesn't mean that we have to have only just Saturdays or Sundays that we come for mission activity and that is our sadhana. That is one avenue. But then when we go home, that is when the sadhana really begins. So not giving up those things because we think that the familial responsibilities are outweighing. And that is where we must learn to juggle the two. Be the master in juggling both the family life and the spiritual life. For those who have completely devoted this part becomes very easier for them. They don't have to juggle two lives. Then they have to juggle with their mind. But we are doing both actually. We are also juggling with our mind and we are juggling with the responsibilities. So here, the idea is not to give up the responsibility. The idea is not to give up the relations. The idea is not to undermine the relation and be indifferent to them. I know you are not going to ever come in my aid in my old age. So why should I help you? No, not that. Do as much as we can, but at the same time, not giving up our understanding of why we are doing. Removing that doer in that action. Connecting ourselves with Bhagwan in that action. That I'm not doing it for you, I'm doing it as a person who has been entrusted with this relation. I'm doing this as an instrument of Bhagwan so that you are met with whatever desires you have. So removing that expectation, and then we continue with our work. Otherwise, this thought will only lead us to that idea that, okay, no, take up sannyas. Bhagwan Adi Shankaracharya is not, and this is how we have always seen, Adi Shankaracharya is the great Mathadipati who created all these mathas, a great scholar. For him to talk about bhakti? No. He could not have talked about these shlokas. These shlokas must have been written by somebody else. How can Adi Shankara talk about bhajagovindam? But with this idea itself, what Adi Shankaracharya ji is trying to get at is, if you are in the livelihood of a householder, know the truth and give up that preoccupation. Give up that attitude of expectation from them. And continue to do your service. Once you have exhausted them, now you have nothing but time to devote for your spiritual sadhana. So with that understanding, we must bhaja govindam, bhaja govindam. Govindam bhaja. Moodhamate. If we have not understood, then we are moodhamate. If we have understood it, we will continue to do bhaji govindam. So, we'll put a pause here and then we will pick up the next time we are here. It's 1:30.
Purnamidam, Purnat, Purnamudachate, Purnasya, Purnamadaya, Purnameva, Vashishate, Om Shanti, 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 Harihi Om, Shri Guru Bhyon, Harihi Om.